This is an ABC podcast.
Hi, I'm Stephen Stockwell.
And I'm Ange Lavoie-Pierre. And today on The Signal, it's the first day in Victoria where, in certain circumstances, terminally ill people can legally end their own lives. And more states could go the same way, because there's pretty widespread support for that change, 70 to 80% in fact. So why isn't that translating into legislation?
The main opposition, and very effective opposition, to voluntary assisted dying in Australia are conservative Christian groups, most particularly the Catholic Church.
The rules might have changed in Victoria, but the fight against euthanasia laws in Australia is still heating up. So on today's episode, we speak to someone on the front lines.
So if you took an inventory of some of Australia's most bitter policy fights over the years, you know, things like climate change or tax reform, there's usually like a pretty big split amongst voters too, right?
Yep.
As in a lot of people with different ideas about how to fix the problem, whatever it is.
Right. But every now and then you get an outlier, you know, something like same-sex marriage, where the polls say one thing, overwhelming support in that case, and the law says another. Now, euthanasia looks like one of those outliers. Despite polls suggesting really strong support, for the longest time, there haven't been any laws that allowed it, or at least none that stuck. But then, on the 29th of November in 2017, after a debate that lasted nearly 26 hours, the Victorian government's voluntary assisted dying bill passed, 47 votes to 37.
Therefore, the motion is agreed to. The bill will now be sent to the Legislative Council.
And it comes into effect today. So the way it works is you have to be over 18, capable of making sound decisions, you have to give informed consent and communicate your decision.
Yeah, so it only applies to people with an incurable illness that causes intolerable, unrelieved suffering, with less than 6 months to live, or a year to live, in the case of a neurodegenerative diagnosis like motor neuron disease. A small team of pharmacists at the Alfred Hospital in Melbourne are the only ones who'll have access to the drugs. And the idea is that they'll travel around the state, handing them out to patients in a locked box. And inside this locked box is this 100 milliliter dose that they drink when they're ready.
And obviously, that's just in the state of Victoria. But those polls we mentioned that showed 70 to 80% support for assisted dying laws are national. So we wanted to know, is there a big disconnect between politicians and the public on this? And if so, why? So we called someone who has been trying for years now to get laws like this over the line.
You will not find an issue on which there is greater public support than this, and you won't find it over the last 20 years. Not same-sex marriage, not anything. And it is a very interesting question as to how our parliaments could be so out of step with what the public want. You know, the public don't want them to lead on this. They want them to follow.
So that is Andrew Denton, who has lived a pretty long and full public life in Australia. I mean, you've probably heard of him in a few other contexts. But in 2016, he founded Go Gentle, which is a euthanasia policy advocacy group. And he says the Victorian laws are actually pretty moderate.
The most liberal laws are in Europe, and they are to do with unbearable and untreatable suffering. So they can deal not just with physical illness, but in a very small number of cases, mental illness as well, for example. At the other end of the scale, you had the North American laws, which are limited specifically to people with a terminal illness and 6 months or less to live. Kind of in the middle are Victoria's laws.
Where are things up to in other states? Have they kind of stalled?
No, not at all. In fact, they're very active. So Western Australia has followed Victoria's lead. They held a long-running parliamentary inquiry, which recommended by a strong majority in favour of a law based on the evidence. The government is now putting forward legislation. The Queensland government have also instituted an inquiry into end-of-life care following Victoria and Western Australia. South Australia are about to do the same. And later in the year, I believe Tasmania will be debating yet another bill.
Okay, so that's quite a lot going on.
And it reflects 2 decades of overwhelming and consistent public support for parliaments to do something about better end-of-life choices.
Okay, so if there is that overwhelming support, then what's the holdup?
Yeah, so Andrew reckons on the one hand, it's got a lot to do with the fact that in the past, all the bills were private members' bills. But now you're seeing governments get behind it, or at least look into it, which brings all this institutional heft. And then there's also been a really passionate campaign arguing against those changes.
The main opposition, and very effective opposition, to voluntary assisted dying in Australia conservative Christian groups, most particularly the Catholic Church, and their surrogates in the medical community who represent themselves as doctors, which they are, but they keep hidden their strong immoral agenda, which is that only God decides these things, and indeed, in some cases, that suffering at the end of life is good for your soul.
And it's not like it's a secret that Catholics feel this way. I mean, they've been on the record for thousands of years. But Andrew does have a problem with the way they make their case.
There's a number of things they're doing that they're less than honest about. Just in the last few weeks, directly from the office of Archbishop Anthony Fisher of Sydney, have come a couple of videos strongly misrepresenting how the laws are operating in Oregon and North America and in Belgium and Europe. We've spoken to experts from both of those states. In fact, the expert in Belgium whose paper was misrepresented by Archbishop Fisher's office, and he's very upset at the way he's been misrepresented.
So what Andrew's talking about there is these videos that have been published by the Sydney Archbishop Anthony Fisher's Facebook page, making a kind of slippery slope argument about the Victorian laws.
And so over this music and a heartbeat, the videos quote some statistics. One of the videos about Belgium, which has assisted dying laws, cites a 2010 report and claims that one person is euthanized every 3 days without their explicit consent. And in more than 75% of the cases, the decision was not discussed with the patient.
So Go Gentle has actually gone back to the report's author, who says the video's a misrepresentation and that the study in question wasn't about euthanasia. It was about an investigation into the incidence of terminal sedation before and after Belgium legalised assisted dying in 2002.
So what we mean when we say terminal sedation, by the way, is the largely undocumented but anecdotally fairly common practice of a doctor upping the sedation of a patient in palliative care until they die.
Right. So the study's author also says the video ignores the study's conclusions, that the incidence of non-voluntary terminal sedation has actually halved since the euthanasia law was enacted in Belgium. Got that?
I think so. So we took that rebuttal to the Archdiocese of Sydney, and they are standing by the video. They argue that the study makes no mention of sedation, and that in any case, administering drugs with the explicit intention of hastening the end of life is euthanasia, regardless of the, and I quote, spin that activist organisations such as Go Gentle Australia put on it.
Either way, Andrew Denton says the Catholic Church has been running a really strong campaign for a long time.
They stand in deep opposition, moral opposition to these laws, and it seems that they're prepared to use whatever tactics are helpful to them to thwart these laws and to thwart the very long and strongly expressed public will that there'd be better choices at the end of life than being drugged into a coma or having to starve and dehydrate yourself to death or, as our laws allow, actually committing suicide. There's a deep hypocrisy here. The mantra of the Catholic Church and Catholic palliative care organisations is that we will never abandon the vulnerable. But indeed, by stopping these laws and using their influence in various Australian parliaments to do that, they have left many vulnerable people to suffer greatly. And they have no comment, and nor do they ever acknowledge the many suicides that happen every week around Australia of the terminally ill. In Victoria, the most powerful evidence came from their coroner, which showed that in that state, prior to these laws, at least one terminally ill Victorian was taking their lives every week and sometimes using methods as extreme as nail guns. Now, this is directly as a result of the fact that these were people with terminal illnesses whom medicine could no longer help.
So we also wanted to know exactly how the strongest opponents to euthanasia laws make their case, which is the same question Andrew was asking a few years ago when he started down this path.
Look, I went to an anti-euthanasia convention, an international one in Adelaide in 2015, the first time one's been held in the Southern Hemisphere. I learned a lot, and one of the key things I learned was from a legislator from New Hampshire called Nancy Elliott, who explained to the very eager audience the best way to stop politicians from voting for this law. And she basically said, you need a lot of arguments, because if one falls over, then just pick up another one. Just be ready to run with lots of arguments, in brackets, whether or not they're actually true. And she said, and I quote, you know, right now the disability argument
is really kicking it. The disability argument is really kicking it. It's very powerful. Now, will it always be powerful? We don't know. two, three, 4 years from now, that may have holes kicked in it, you know, for different reasons. So we have to be flexible. You know, when one of our arguments dies, we need to be ready to pick up another one.
The point she made, and it's been devastatingly effective in Australia because there have been over 50 attempts in the last 20 years in different states to pass these laws. The point she made, the chief strategic point she made to those listening, which has been very faithfully followed by the Catholic Church and conservative elements of our medical profession, was this. She said, you do not need to win a legislator's hearts and minds. All you need to do is convince them, not this bill, and you've got your win. And so we see an endless stream of misinformation and fear campaigns.
What do you think the politicians are worried about when it comes to this? What are they afraid of if they go ahead and make these decisions and change these laws?
Look, I've spent a lot of time talking with a lot of politicians on all sides of the fence here, and I've had some great conversations, even with MPs who end up not voting for this law. To my eyes, most of them engage with this genuinely and really with an effort to try and understand the issue. But first of all, it's complex. You know, it's when you have senior doctors from palliative care telling you as an MP, for instance, as they have done in Australia and continue to do, that there is no problem here, that we have everything under control, then it's difficult as an MP to cut through that. And unfortunately for them to hear the true stories of those who still suffer in palliative care and other places. So that's part of the issue. I think it's also the fact that we're talking about death, and death is the most emotional issue that there is. We all have deep and complex reactions to it. And what I've really seen is that the emotion of this subject has often derailed the logic that you would expect MPs to apply to policymaking.
When you kind of do that inventory in the way that you did of where all the different states and territories are up to with this, it does seem like your side is winning this fight in 2019.
No, I don't believe that at all. In fact, I think even the Victorian law will need to be guarded against. Had the Liberal government got in Victoria, I think serious efforts would have been made to repeal that legislation. The history in North America, where it's been running for over 20 years, is that there are still vexatious claims through the courts to try and repeal the laws there. So I think, you know, it astonishes me, frankly, the ferocity with which the Catholic Church and their allies will fight against this. And it astonishes me not because of the depth of their beliefs, but because this law exempts them in every way. They are not being asked to participate. They are not being asked in any way to be affected by this law. But it's not enough for them that this law doesn't impact on them. No, they insist that only their beliefs in end-of-life care be allowed to apply in this country, and that nobody else have a choice that they want.
So, even if these laws pass in every state, the theory is they'll have to be defended for an eternity?
Yeah. Remind me never to go into lobbying.
All right, that's it for us today on The Signal. Jump online, rate us, review us, all that kind of jazz. It all makes a difference.
And if you want to email us, we love to get your emails. It is thesignal@abc.net.au, and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow. Bye.
See ya.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.